Welcome to the Utah PTA Pulse Podcast. Every child, one voice, coming to you from our offices here in Murray. I'm Mike Williams, Director of Communications. To my right here is...
I'm Angeli Ado, the Family Life Commissioner.
And I'm Cammie Whitchurch, Community Engagement Commissioner.
We're excited to talk to you guys about good standing in the PTA. Right?
You mean it sounds scarier than it really is.
I know, that's why I was doing the opposite. It's not very scary.
Some people do worry about that. Like, there's so much to do. But it's really, just take it one thing at a time.
Yeah.
What's the first thing to take? Oh, sorry, let's do our
intro.
Question.
Okay, so the question for today is, what is your favorite meal to cook?
To cook?
And I didn't think of mine, so...
Okay, I can go. My wife, by the way, hates this, and I love it. So I just get this concoction of stuff. So I make noodles. It doesn't matter what kind, macaroni, shell noodles, whatever kind of noodles. Make noodles. Then I get Alfredo sauce, pour it in. Oh, so good. I get chili, pour that in. I get green beans, pour that in, and corn.
It sounds weird, but it's probably delicious.
It is so good.
I love concoctions like that.
The Alfredo sauce is really what makes it, but it's so good.
Does your wife hate that you make, like, concoctions?
She just hates it. She thinks it's disgusting.
Okay.
She's like, that's gross. I'm like, no, it's so good. And I told my brother, he's like, what? He's like, I want some. So he tried it. He's like, this is amazing. So I like it. But no, that's probably my favorite thing to make. I don't know if that's baking, but it's...
Well, it's cooking.
Cooking,
yeah,
right?
She just said cooking. It
good.
Because
I can't bake. Okay.
Oh, I don't know. I actually hate to cook. I do. It's not my favorite thing. So that's hard. I do...
Who does the cooking at your house? I mean, do you do it
still? I do it. Actually, I have... My girls love to bake stuff. They like making stuff. My husband does quite a bit. Make stuff a lot. I don't know. I would something easy that doesn't take very long. That's anything that can be done fast. I like eggs. Actually, I don't mind cooking eggs because I can have them done pretty quick. So yeah, eggs. I know, super boring. But I just don't, I don't know. I don't know if it's the cleanup. It's just the thought of cooking something just makes me, I'd rather be doing something else. Actually, that's probably what it is.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's that I'd rather be eating the food. I don't know. Eggs.
Eggs.
There you go.
Love it.
Eggs are good.
Oh man, I don't know what mine is either. Well, I actually like cooking and I like to cook a lot of things, but I think I would go to like any pasta dish. I don't know if I have like a particular one, but I like pasta, so I'm like, let me make this thing. But not a lot of kids, my kids don't love sauce. Some love it and some hate it. And mm-hmm. So I'm like, I want to make this thing. And then I'm like, oh, no one will eat it. I don't know. Probably pasta something, but I can't think of anything.
Pasta something.
Mm-hmm. In particular. I do like to cook brownies, but...
And she made them last time, and they were delicious.
I did. I was going to bring a treat today, too, and I would have brought cupcakes if I knew it was your birthday yesterday.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I would have brought a treat. I just ran out of time today, so next time. Yeah. Now I'm going to think about it this whole time.
Okay. If it changes.
What's good standing? I don't know.
How does this relate to good standing?
It doesn't really.
It's totally fine.
But maybe it is kind of because it's something that you have to do even
that's
if you don't
right.
like it.
Yes,
like,
the ingredients
yes.
of the PTA.
Yep,
good
put
standing.
Them together. They taste great.
So why do we have to have good standing? I think before we talk about like what it is, like why do we have to have it?
Why do we have to have
I mean,
standing?
I mean, you shouldn't have to Google it.
I mean, my thought is we're a
501c3.
504 is the plan, right? Okay.
It's not that.
We're a 401.
We're a 501c3, and if we don't abide by our bylaws, we could lose our non-for-profit status. So
yeah.
That's a big one.
I think that's like the main one is that we are a nonprofit organization with that status, so we have to follow the rules. And I think people in, like, a local PTA, they know that, but they don't think of it. So that's why, like, when they're like, oh, I have to do all these things, it's like they forget that they're actually, like, under this umbrella of an organization that is a
501c3.
Well, and I think it protects you, too. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, if you can, you know, show, like, this is how this is done. I just remember talking to a friend who was part of a PTO, and they were having a huge fight on who was going to be the PTO president, and there wasn't really a process put in place. And these were two people that, you know, I'm sure were friends, but it just caused a lot of contention that I think, you know, if you have a nominating committee and you have a process, it would help that a lot. And it's not, hopefully, not quite so much fighting going on. So I like that, that there's that process that protects us when someone comes and goes, well, why are they president? Well, we went through this process, we followed our bylaws, and we put them in place. So.
Yeah, I like it. Anybody else want to add anything before we go to, like, what it is?
Well, I've got the what it is on our Utah PTA website.
What is it?
If a local PTA is not in good standing, neither the local PTA nor students attending the PTA schools are eligible to participate in PTA programs such as Reflections, Battle of Bands, or to receive awards. It talks about sales tax. Do we want to go into that?
Oh, yeah, you do get a sales tax refund.
You know what I like about it is to have that good standing. A lot of people don't know about the letter, whatever. I can't think of the letter, what it's called. It's just telling us that we're tax exempt.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've used I use that letter for the podcast. So for us to be able to upload this, normally you have to pay a certain amount of money, but because we're a 501c3, we can apply for reduced rate. Yeah,
which is really nice.
Way nice. And then there's a lot of PTAs that, at least this year in my council, have said, hey, we want to do this, and how do we raise money, or what do we do? And I said, hey, have you reached out to organizations and say, hey, we're a nonprofit, and since you're in good standing, you have that ability to give that information to these big businesses who can donate goods or donate services, whatever it is that you need. I have a little tiny example that wasn't so cool, but I got my letter, and I went to the Pie Pizzeria, their corporate offices in Midvale, which was really cool. And I went in there, and I was like, oh, so cool, and gave them my letter, and I gave them a little, you know, how you can support our little local PTA, and I found out that from them, well, you need to do it before a budget at the... So, like, this time is a good time to talk to these corporate entities and before they budget for the year so that they can use it as a tax write-off for the next year. But, yeah, so I went, like, in April, but they gave me $25 worth of pizza.
Nice.
And I paid for a little dinner for our staff, our elementary front staff. So that was nice. They appreciated it that the PTA could pay for them to have a little bit of lunch.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I've heard awesome stories. I have a friend. She was on the council or on the PTA president or executive committee with me at the elementary school, and her work is based out of Ohio somewhere, and the only reason, so she heard about, hey, this school in Ohio with the PTA, they went to this entity, I think it was like a bike manufacturer, and they got 300 bikes for this little school.
That is so cool.
And then it's like an underprivileged school, so they wrote, hey, your money will do this, or your contribution will do this, and this can raise, you know, this can, they, I think they had like a health and safety and commissioner involved and said, hey, we want kids to be healthy, to be riding their bikes, we want them to be safe. They got helmets with all their bikes. So I know, being good standing and being able to have that letter to present to organizations is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that's
amazing.
That is a really neat story. I like it a lot. Okay.
So good standing.
Well, I was thinking, last year I was buying popsicles for field day. That was so many popsicles. And I liked that it was tax exempt. I mean, it was just like a little thing, but it all the money adds up. Yes. You know, so I was happy that I didn't have to fork out an extra like $30 or whatever the tax would have been on all those popsicles.
Yeah.
But how amazing is that for you? And that's something I think people don't realize with fundraiser. When we're fundraising and we do use that money, if we can use it and save $30, that $30 every time you're doing an activity, is huge.
Well, not to say that you can't get it back when you do your sales tax refund.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's right then and there, and it doesn't even come out of that budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So nice.
So that's really
nice. It's really nice. Especially if you're buying, like, bigger things, you know, or spending a little bit more on popsicles or whatever your thing is.
Yep.
So there's a few things you have to do to be in good standing. So the basic thing you need to do is to, like, adhere to the basic policies of PTA. That's, like, first foremost, basic policies of PTA.
When there is... Just so people know if they want to come and reference this again, there is an actual page on the Utah PTA website. Do you know what
UtahPTA.org/whatgoodstanding.
What good standing.
So you can go there and you can read along with us.
And so it tells you like what it is, but it also brings up the standards of affiliation, which kind of breaks it down a little bit more. But, I don't know what I was going to say next. That's fine.
Sorry.
It's fine.
It's me. I'm rubbing off on people.
I think it's just that, like, we have a lot on our minds, and sometimes you're, like, saying a sentence or telling a story, and you're like...
Where was I going with this story?
Hopefully you know what I'm trying to talk about.
Here's a list I found, standards of affiliation for good standing. So what you were saying earlier, bylaws followed. And I think a lot of us don't read our bylaws. But make sure you're reading those.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay your membership dues. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're paying to state and national dues.
And council if you have them.
And council if you have them, yep.
You got to file your taxes.
Yep.
Which, if the restructure goes through, you don't have to pay to council anymore.
And that'll be awesome.
Yeah. Save you a check.
Yep.
Yep. And I'm sure, because we've all been local PTA presidents, right?
Mm-hmm.
And filing those 990s and making sure everything, those tax things, and thankful for treasurers that are awesome.
Mm-hmm. Seriously. Yeah. Treasurers are so great.
Yes. Thank your treasurer today.
And I want you to be like, if you're a treasurer listening and going, oh my goodness, I have to do all this. Don't worry. There's always somebody above you that has done it. And we can help you out.
And it sounds scarier than it really is.
Yeah, it does. It sounds super scary. When they were telling me, I was like, wait, what? I'm reading this in my handbook going, oh my goodness. I have to have a what? Was it a PRF or?
An
AFR.
AFR.
I'm like, what's that one?
I knew so. See, somebody would find out.
AFR.
I was like, that sounds awful.
A proposal. What would that be?
I know, now we're trying to figure out what that acronym is.
Annual Financial Reconciliation.
I know what the AFR stands
There's
for.
A lot of acronyms in PTA.
Mm-hmm.
So many.
Yes, AFR. Yes, we should always say what they are. Annual Financial Review. Right, review?
No, reconciliation.
Reconciliation. That's right.
It's not. One is training for leaders.
Yep.
So you have to even report it. There's a president's report. You got to report that you're doing your trainings, council level, region level.
And the trainings are important because they teach you what to do.
Yeah, your job.
Because we don't all know the answers. So it's nice to have that training. Let's see, what else we got? Oh, you have to have a budget. And then you also have to have it approved.
And then a general membership meeting.
Yeah, you can't just have your executive committee approve it. You have to have your general membership approve it. Which is important.
Everybody should.
I mean, in general, everybody should have a budget in life. But it's really important when you're in organizations to have a budget so that you know where your money's going. And then that you can come back and be like, oh, we did spend this money on the teachers, or, oh, like, we don't need that much money next year for this program, or whatever. And so, and I think it helps with transparency too.
Yeah.
You know, we're not.
People want to see where that money's going, especially when it comes to fundraiser time, and you can say, you know, we're fundraising for A, B, C, D, and you can show them your budget and see, they can see right where those funds are going.
And one of the things you have to do while we're talking about money is when you're counting money, you have to have three people count the money.
Yep.
Yeah. And that seems like overkill, but three people count the money. Three PTA members can't just be like any willy-nilly that you pull.
And they have to have signed the
fiscal management form.
Fiscal management, that's what it's called.
Yep. Yeah. And they count the money, and then it needs to go, if you're doing like a cash event or some, or a check event or something like that, it needs to go to the bank. And two people need to take it to the bank.
Yep.
That's important.
In one car, not in separate cars.
Oh, really?
You should be.
Oh. I mean, I always do that.
At least that's what I was told.
See, we're learning. We're all learning, okay? Like, it's okay.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can follow in a car and just hope they don't take a right turn and lose you because they want to spend the $80 of book fair money.
Speed away.
Yeah. We always do a penny drive, and it's always like so annoying sometimes, like taking all this change to the bank. Oh. Like, okay, we counted all their change, and now we're going to take it to the bank.
Do you have to put it in rolls before you take it?
The bank that we use, luckily, says we don't have to put it in rolls, but I know a lot of banks want you to put it in rolls if it's a lot of change.
Yeah,
I feel so grateful that we don't have to do that, because it's always like hundreds of dollars in change.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, oh, we're so lucky.
So
yeah.
I'm sure one day they're going to make us do it, but right now...
they don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's good.
They're awesome. All right, so you have to have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know about that when I was president. I was like, what do we need insurance for? But we did have a situation where we thought we were going to actually need our insurance, so I was glad that we had it. There's several companies that provide it. I know a lot of schools in Utah go with AIM Insurance Management. Mm-hmm. They're awesome, and they provide it they're used to dealing with PTA, so they provide just exactly what you need. They're awesome.
And it is good to look at your, if you want... We looked at ours because we were like, oh, good. We had a pop-up tent and it broke. And they're like, oh, it doesn't cover this with certain this and this. And I'm like, oh, okay. But they were really awesome. They still worked with us, and they reimbursed and helped us pay for this little pop-up tent thing we had. But it was just good to look at.
Well, I was at a meeting kind of recently, and we were talking about how this event we were going to do needed, like, extra insurance. Like, our policy didn't have enough. I think our policy was only, like, $2 million, and they needed $3 million. And so oftentimes your insurance company can work with you for, like, a one-time more of whatever you're looking for, too. So.
And you just never know. I mean, even if it's a PTA meeting, you don't know what weird thing. I mean, you'll be at a PTA meeting, and maybe one of the kids... falls or something, at least that coverage. I don't know.
Yep.
Never know what could happen.
It's great to have it. It's so nice to have that peace of mind. Oh, we got insurance here. We're gonna be okay.
We were we had our first council meeting, and usually we vote to use like the other PTA's insurance, and so we were voting on that, and I was like, okay, so no one like get hurt, no one do anything crazy at this meeting until we like vote on it, because we don't usually carry our own. We usually vote to use the schools when we're in those schools. But everybody be careful. So you have to take minutes. That's really important. At all your meetings, you have to take minutes.
Make sure you take those minutes for budget, for sure. And
any
bylaws, because I sent my bylaws without minutes to Marissa.
And Marissa will send them back.
And she did.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
She's like, what's this?
I'm she
like,
is a stickler.
Bylaws.
She's great.
Where's your minutes? Like,
yep.
Good thing we took our minutes. I just didn't know I had to send them.
Well, and approving your minutes each, you know, the past minutes need to be approved at the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that you do that.
And I did have a local just ask me, do we need to approve our minutes from April? Yeah, you should probably
in the new year.
The
last meeting. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know that one is always like a little bit tricky, because I mean, depending on what situation you're in, you're like, okay, I'm going to send you these minutes. You weren't at the meeting. So hopefully yeah. they're right. You know, yeah, it's like you weren't even involved in it.
That's very true.
You know, sometimes if it's like a lot of turnover or...
Who has the minutes?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
Which, well, I mean, we could give a shout out to givebacks. You could store your minutes there. And
yeah.
And then whoever is taking over, the minutes are already stored in givebacks.
That's a good idea. We always just had a shared drive.
We did that
just
too.
Created a Gmail account for the PTA. But if you do that, then you want to have standing rules that say who has access to that drive.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. I think... When people go, well, what do I do for standing rules? There's one.
Yeah.
Is who has access to the email account and the drive if you have one.
Yep. And I think even, like, going further, like, who's in charge of, like, if you have, like, your secretary and your president in charge of, they could do the email account, but who responds?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
kind of just true. Like, is it my job to respond? Is it your job to respond? Do you respond on Mondays? Do you respond on Tuesdays? You know, like, mm-hmm. what's mm-hmm. the rules yeah. with that? I think that's important. And
or how often you even check it.
Yeah.
Ways you might miss a volunteer. 2 months.
Yeah, that is a long time to not check an email. Well, and when you're, I feel like when you're doing PTA stuff, to make sure you're using your PTA email too.
Yes. Yes. I think that helps people. Well, and to have that consistent communication, so it's yeah. always from year to year to year, always coming from the same one. I think that's really helpful.
And the stuff is there too, like if someone has to go back and look for something, it's in that email yeah. account.
That's true. It's very true.
All right,
what's next on the list, Angelique?
Okay, so we talked about minutes. You have to have a nominating committee. We kind of briefly talked about that, but the nominating committee helps us when we're trying to fill our positions for next year. And there, it's awesome.
Yeah, I love nominating committee. I was on 2 last year. And one great thing is, you know, if you get several people and you get people saying, oh, she's got to be this or he's got to be this. And the nominating committee gets together and we get to talk about those individuals, talk to the individual, just all those things. And I remember one, we had a position that... One person, they would be great for it. Talked them up, and it was great, and she would have been awesome. And then there was another person who was nominated for it who had never done PTA ever. So you have this PTA, this person who's been in PTA for 20 years, and then one who's never. Well, after being on the nominating committee, we were able to find out the one that was doing it for has done it for 20 years. She's like, I'm working on my master's degree. I don't know if I'm really, you know, it's kind of tough for me. So we're like, okay, well, that's good to know. I mean, because of the nominating committee, we were able to, you know, find out the person who's not working on their master's degree is probably more appropriate for this year. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, you know, I want to do it next year. So, it's nice to have that nominating committee to decipher and talk and understand who would be best for the position at this time. And so, yeah, it was good. Mm-hmm. Worked out well.
Yeah, and I love that, like, if you have, I feel like when you're, like, if you're working at a local school, your nominating committee wants to come from, like, all the different neighborhoods you have mm-hmm. in your school so that you're getting that equal representation, but also because I don't know but all the families,
uh-huh.
you know? So I think it's great when you can hopefully know all the families between everybody on your nominating committee and, you know, really get some good people, but different people too.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's a good opportunity, the nominating committee, to kind of invite and bring on, you know, maybe people that haven't been involved a little bit and help with that.
Well, in that situation you were talking about, Mike, if they just would have, like, picked that person, she might have not, she probably would have said yes anyway,
uh-huh.
even yep. though she knew that it was going to be overextending herself.
Right.
So it's good that you guys could just have that conversation with her, like, oh, we think you'd be great, but, like, what do you think?
Yep.
And you can tell us honestly, not feel, like, pressured into
yep.
doing it.
Well, and there aren't minutes taken at a, like, people need to realize that a nominating committee, there's no minutes taken.
Yep.
I mean, you're oftentimes talking about some personal information,
yep.
and so that information should never be shared. It should, you know, there shouldn't be a
yeah.
sharing of that information. It's, you're taking that information to make the best decision for
yeah.
your PTA.
Yeah.
Yeah, when our president asked me to be on the nominating committee, and then I was the chair I created an email and I listed out, you know, this is what the nominating committee does, and it's confidential. And it was great because she was able to send that to all the members, a whole 80, which is pretty cool for elementary, 80 members. And then we had people, you know, self-nominating and saying, hey, I want to do that, I want to do that, when they knew that, hey, there is a structure of how this is done, instead of, how do I become that? Do I need to go to your meetings? Like, it was great. And then we got to talk to on the phone with all these great individuals, and they're like, oh, what would be my responsibilities? And it was awesome. So I think like you said, it's a gateway to these people that are in our neighborhoods. We don't really know who they are, but we can capture these PTA members.
Well, sometimes you might have this awesome volunteer that comes in and helps a teacher every week, but like they haven't really tapped into like PTA stuff necessarily, so you don't know like how awesome they really are. Yep. You know, so I think I love it. I love the nominating committee.
Well, and I think about, you know, what my daughter's first elementary school. If someone had come to me and said, hey, come to the PTA meetings, or, you know, had come and approached me personally, I would have gotten more involved.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes we need to remember, like, it's okay to reach out to these people one-on-one, and, you know, maybe someone nominates someone, and you know, you can reach out to them and give them the information, and hopefully, even if they don't accept that position, bring them into the PTA.
Yep.
To start helping out.
Yeah, sometimes they don't want, like, they don't want the secretary job, but they might want the Red Ribbon Week chair job, you know?
Yeah.
So I think a really nominating committee also fills some of your other spots that you need, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I started on a nominating committee this last spring, and it's been really fun to watch those people now in their leadership positions, and I'm like, look at them go! Like... I feel like it's kind of like that with your kids too, you know, you've like taught them something and you're like, get up, they're doing it, like.
And that's not to say that sometimes the nominating committee can be hard. It can be hard to find people.
Definitely
experienced that too. And
and
that's when I think those personal invitations go a long way.
Yep.
Going and talking to some, you know, rather than sending out, because sometimes you do get people when you send out that blast email, but sometimes the best way to get people is to physically, well, not necessarily physically, but, you know, send them, maybe not a text, maybe a phone call.
Yeah.
But yet personally reaching out to them.
And sometimes you have to do that like 4 times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember, sorry, this is kind of going on a tangent, but when I decided to run for school board, it took 4 people saying to me, oh, you should run for school board, before I had the confidence enough to try that.
Yep.
So.
Same here. I ran for school board.
Oh, did you? I didn't make it.
But it was like scary.
It is. Yeah, and to know that those 4 people backed me and were like, no, you should really do this, that made a huge difference.
Yeah, it was so weird to have people call me and say, you need to run for this position. I'm like, what?
What are you talking about?
And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. And somebody else called me. I'm like, holy cow, people are calling me. This is nuts. Okay, well, I'll try.
Yep. But doesn't it make you feel good when someone like has acknowledged your strengths,
you're right.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in PTA, I think it works the same way, because the person who approached me to be president, same thing. Like, I think you'd be a good president. And I'm thinking,
you don't even know me.
I've been involved in this for like 6 months. Not even 6 months. It was like 4 months by that point in time. So I'm like, I don't know enough to be president. She's like, I think you can do this.
Yep.
And she was there to back me up, too,
yep.
Which I think helps a lot. It wasn't like, here you go, see ya, I'm out the door.
Well, you know, I think if I were to be a president again, I would still kind of approach it as, like, I still don't know enough. Like, I learned so much when I was a PTA president, but I feel like I still don't know everything. And I would still kind of, I mean, I'd go into it with definitely eyes much more open, for sure, but I'd still be like, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know everything. Like,
yeah.
Or I'd be like, definitely don't want to do that again.
Or maybe, you know, helping them to be okay with, you know what, you don't have to do it the way the previous president did it. Or the previous, you know, you can still make this your own.
Yeah. I love that.
Just stay in good standing.
Yep. Yeah, don't veer from the...
Don't go too crazy.
Veer from your bylaws or your handbook, but you can make it your own still.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so we all love nominating committees.
Yes, we do.
all big proponents.
I'll be on your nominating.
I know. Like, if you need a person, we're all here, okay?
We can do it. We can help.
Mm-hmm. And you want to get your nominating committees formed soon.
Yes, you do.
Soon. While we're talking about that.
Yes, think about it right now.
I had someone ask me, like, why do we need to do that? Like, why do we need to form them so soon? But I think it helps those people on the nominating committee to actually be, like, watching people.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard when you go in, if you do it, like, in January or February, and you're supposed to elect someone by March, and you're like, oh, well, I think my friend is good at that. I don't know. Like, it feels a little stressful. So if you form them sooner than later, then you can actively be watching and being like, oh, I watched her at Battle of Books. Like, she might be good for this, or...
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. So make sure you form your nominating committees, like, sooner than later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so after you have, like, all your nominating committees and everything, you have to have elections for your actual positions. You just can't say, like, I'm the PTA president. It's not really how it works. Which is good.
I'll just tell a little quick story about that.
Love it.
That's how, when I went first year to president, because they didn't have a nominating committee, they didn't do elections, I had to be appointed by my region director to be the president until we could have a nominating committee and then elections for me to be president. So I was a president by nomination for a couple months. Yeah, it's a thing.
You were like the interim president.
Yes, I was interim president. It was crazy. So that's why I was like, man, we got to have a nominating committee because this sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, make sure you have your elections and it'll turn out fine.
Well, then if your nominating committee did all that work, like, you should do your elections after they helped do all that work, too. And then you also have to turn in all your reports. So there's president reports, there's some treasurer reports.
I mean, do we want to talk about how you find your president report? Because I know that's a big thing.
Yep.
People will come to me, I don't know where that is.
Well, and we really push, like, using givebacks, but some of the reports aren't. You have to turn in some things on givebacks, but then you also have to turn in stuff on Utah PTA, too.
Yeah,
so
that's a little confusing.
That is a little confusing, but the president reports are on Utah PTA.
And I think if you look up report, like what number it is, so report one is usually due mid-November, and report number two is January.
Yeah.
And number three is March.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Well, and just to let you know, the importance of those reports, you put in your volunteer hours in those reports, and the community engagement commissioner, so I actually take the reports for that year, so it goes from January to December of that year, to create the check that we give to the governor saying that this is how many hours Utah PTA volunteers have volunteered this year, and the monetary, you know, so we actually write a check for the value of that. And I think PTA volunteer hours right now are like $33 and some change. I don't remember what it is. It's like 39 or something, 42. So yeah, there's a place to look it up. If you just look up value of a volunteer hour, there's a website. But yeah, I mean, that's where I get that information from, is I go through all of those reports. So if you're not reporting those hours, they're not a part of that. That checks were actually under reporting, so get those in.
Yeah, but it's also nice to see, like, how many hours actually going into your school stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
when you can make, I know I've had a couple people contact me to make a big check for their school. That's the same way, and I think that's fantastic. So they present that to the principal, showing that the volunteer hours in their school are equivalent to this, and they hand them a check.
That.
So
I'm writing that down.
Yep, and hopefully soon. We'll have that Canva file available on the idea bank on the website. So,
yeah, we do that as a region, and we present it at the first board meeting of the year. So we did that a couple weeks ago in Region 17, and went to the superintendent and all the board members and said, hey, this is what we did, how many hours we did for you guys last year. So it was awesome.
Well, and that's a great way to just show the value of PTA,
mm-hmm.
too.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel like if you're in a situation where maybe your principal isn't seeing the value of PTA, this would be a really great thing to do.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
actually kind of sitting down and like writing out all the hours that you are spending. And I think too, putting it in your procedure book, like we spent like 10 hours prepping for the carnival or whatever thing too, so that it's a little bit more realistic for the next person. Okay, this person spent like 20 hours on Red Ribbon Week. Can I give 20 hours? Is it going to take me 20 hours or can I do it differently or
to save time here?
I never even thought about putting in the hours in your procedure book, but
that is a great idea.
I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because especially for like membership, when I'm trying to get people to sign up, well, what do I have to do? This, I know that if you're this commissioner, it's a little more than this commissioner, or if you're a secretary, like, I kind of know, but yeah.
If it was in your procedure book and you just could literally show that to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. That's why you have procedure books.
Yeah, but I don't think we put the hours in, and I think that's awesome. I think that's a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting hours in now.
We're all doing that from now on in our procedure book.
Add them to your procedure book this year. I think that's
and make a procedure fantastic. Book if you don't have one yet.
Yeah.
What like, is a procedure book?
Well, basically,
well, to them.
Yeah,
it tells you, like, okay, so let's talk about Red Ribbon Week. We're going to make a procedure book for Red Ribbon Week. It basically talks about what you did for Red Ribbon Week. And maybe you contacted, I don't know, the DARE program, and they were like, no, we don't do that anymore. So you could write that in your procedure book, like, we can't use DARE anymore. We have to use a different program. And then you could talk about, like, the events you did and what it cost and
mm-hmm. how many of things you ordered.
Yeah, so if you ordered 1,000 bouncy balls or something from Amazon, you could include that. Or if you ordered the bouncy balls and no one liked the bouncy balls, include that too. Yeah. Like, kind of the good and the bad, so that a person doing it next time could be like, okay, I can tackle Red Ribbon Week because here's some contact information, here's what works, what doesn't work. And then if you're a new person and you get that procedure book, you don't necessarily have to do it exactly that way. I think sometimes we're like, oh, well, it says I have to do it that way.
But it just creates a framework.
Yeah.
For what you can do.
Yeah.
Great idea.
And sometimes, like, I know I've written down, like, the way we did this was horrible. Please don't ever do it this way again.
Yeah.
You know? And that's good information, too. Mm-hmm. You know? Like.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Like, if it was bad, put that in. Or if you don't want to use that speaker again or whatever, like, put all the things in. And now we're going to add hours that you spent on it, too.
Yeah, because that would be so helpful to know. You know, we set this up and it took us X amount of time. Because I remember for Red Ribbon Week, we put together one of those handprint, like, banners where all the kids trace their hand.
Oh, I'm sure it took forever.
Just taping up all of the hands. Yeah, it took hours. But it was so cool. It was so worth it in the end. But I just remember going, oh my goodness. Like, I feel like the hands were multiplying.
It's like the pile never shrinks. Yeah. Like,
we'd be like, oh, let me finish that. And they're like, oh yeah, and here's another bag. I'm like, oh.
What's the enrollment at this school?
This was a small school. I can't imagine it a big one. We're like the smallest elementary in the district. And it still felt like it took forever. So, yeah.
When Red Ribbon Week is coming up,
mm-hmm.
it's usually in October.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you can probably have it anytime you want, but
a lot of people do it in October.
Yeah.
I know some will switch it. Like, we've done it before around Valentine's Day, you know, because, like, red hearts and stuff, but yeah.
Well, I think, like, if you follow, like, the National Red Ribbon Week, it usually falls around Halloween, and I know a lot of people don't love that. They want to, like, do it a different time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and some don't just do just Red Ribbon Week. They do, like, White Ribbon and some of those other ones, too. So,
yeah. A couple of years ago, we did, like, Safe September.
Oh, that's
so cute. We focused on safety for the month of September, but we tried to do all the different types of safety, and that was kind of fun. Yeah, like, just like doing all the things. I like that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that got us through our...
You know, is that everything? Well, end of year reports.
Yeah, so all your end of year stuff is required. And if you do all these things, which it sounds like a lot of things, but it allows you to be able to run a full PTA program, mm-hmm. which I think is important that we're running the full program and we're being able to show that, like, we're following the rules, we're doing what we're supposed to, and I think that's important.
Well, and I think, too, I mean, when you follow the rule, like, I don't know if I can think of an example where people followed the rules and ran into trouble.
Yeah.
You know, usually when a PTA has problems, you can usually pinpoint it to not following
the
rules.
And these are just, like the most basic rules, too. Like, I always say I'm, like, not a rule follower, but these are, like, the basic rules you have to do if you want to have a PTA, you know? I'm like, why are we doing this? What are we doing this for?
I get it.
But these are the basic rules, and these are important. They're so important. It's our 501 C3 status is very important, and I don't know, I would hate for...
I mean, I just think of what we would lose if we lost that, and that's huge.
The value of PTA is so much. It's invaluable. You can't even put a value on it.
Yeah. So, memberships.
Sign up for your membership if you didn't already.
Part of being in good standing, you have to have at least 10 members.
Well, I mean, you have to have a quorum to vote on things, which is usually 10 members, so yes.
Yes, you have to have 10 members.
10 members.
Or whatever your bylaws say. If your bylaws say 25, you better have your 25.
You have to have your quorum as far as memberships go.
Yeah, whatever that is.
I think most people do 10.
Yeah. I think you should do 10. You're updating or renewing your bylaws. You should
go with the minimum.
Pick 10. Don't pick 25.
Oh, because it may be easy for you right now, but you don't know what the ebb and flow of your PTA is going to be, and make it easier on the people in front of you, or, you know, after you.
So. I mean, I hope you're having good attendance at your meetings, but sometimes we just don't. So,
yeah.
Anyways. Yeah. Okay, I think we covered all the basics.
Yeah.
Which is great. I think it's awesome.
Time for our dance party and outro.